We're talking today, continuing our series on the Welcome Initiative, talking about what we're doing as being a church. We want to focus on welcoming, and today we're talking about welcoming to friendships. Friendships are an important part of the Christian life. Henry David Thoreau, American author, said, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation." That's true for many people. There may be a smile on their face. There may be a nice look with clothes that fit your age group and subculture, whatever. You look nice and attractive, but underneath there's an emptiness, there's a desperation, there's a loneliness. Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship before the fall. They had total joy, total openness. After the fall, they became self-conscious, and they tried to hide from one another and put on clothing of fig leaves. Not too long ago, and there was some years back, there was a best-selling book called Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? You don't have to read the book. You know the answer. I'm afraid to tell you who I am because if I tell you, you're going to laugh at me. If you see what's on the inside, you're going to judge me. Because we're all a mix of good and bad. We're all a contradiction of things. We've got quirkiness. We've got strange parts to us. Anybody who know me, you know that that's definitely true. And if we're afraid that if we were really open to people, then we'd be rejected. God wants us to get past the desperation and the loneliness. God has designed things in the church, in the body of Christ, for significant relationships. He wants us to have a relationship with Him and relationships with one another. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." We have fellowship with God through the blood of Jesus. We also have fellowship with one another through Jesus. He makes a big difference. In God's plan, it's His desire for us to have relationships that are satisfying. We all long to be known and accepted for who we are, not having to hide. We all long to be relaxed with those who know and accept us, not always on edge, wondering, how do I respond? And am I saying the right thing? And will this person like me or not like me? Will I be accepted or rejected? We all long to be encouraged and supported by others when we're down, because we all get down sometimes. Life can be challenging. We all need to be brought back in the right path in a loving, non-condemning way when we stray, because every one of us, whether it's little or big, tend to stray from the path, and we need others to encourage us, and we want that. We want to be important to others and have significance in their lives, and God has designed the body of Christ to provide all of these things for us. Now, this might seem like an impossible dream, just to have this kind of thing, but as we learn to welcome one another in the body of Christ, we find that relationships are different. My wife and I served as missionaries overseas for a number of years. And I remember the first time we came back to the States for a furlough time, my mother offered to host a tea for my wife and some of her friends at a restaurant. And my mother's comments afterwards were remarkable, because my wife, we had lived in Dallas when I was in seminary. We'd not lived there for 8 years. Holly had not seen some of these women for 8 years. A few others she'd seen and been at least 2 years when she'd seen any of them. My mother said, "I was in awe because I just listened to the conversations and I have never had that depth of relationship with anybody. And yet you connected with all of these people." Now, we grew up in a church that didn't really teach the Bible, didn't teach about biblical relationships, didn't teach about biblical fellowship. It was more of a tradition and liturgy. And so my mother found this was foreign. You might have had an experience where the kinds of relationships we're going to describe today are foreign. You've never had them. You might look and say, "Well, that can't happen for me." You might even be depressed as we go through this because you said, "This is an impossible dream." But I want to encourage you, we're not talking about an impossible dream. We're talking about the possibility of deep and rich relationships as we live out these instructions from the Bible. My favorite story of a friendship in the Old Testament is that between David and Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of Saul, the king. He was the one who, by tradition, would be next in line to be the king. So David was his threat for that. But David had been chosen, and Saul helped David out. Jonathan helped David out because Saul was trying to kill him. And I love this verse, 1 Samuel 23:16. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. We need friends like that who can help us find strength in God. We can't find all we need in one another, but we can help one another, point one another to God, and find the strength that is needed in God. The New Testament is full of commandments describing the kinds of relationships that we should have. Jesus said this in John chapter 13, 34 to 35, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So he says it's a new commandment. The Old Testament talked about love, but it's a new level of love that Jesus calls us to. But what does this love look like? Well, let's look at some of the commandments concerning relationships in the New Testament. We'll have this fleshed out a bit for us. First of all, we see we are connected to one another. Romans 12:5, "So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Now you look around you, you might not even know some of the people sitting near you, but we are connected to one another. God has not designed it so that we each just have our own individual private relationship to God that we live out in isolation. He's designed things so that we need one another and we are connected and we need to learn to live out that connection. Now, as we get to know one another, we find we might have differences. We might have differences even about faith and opinions and applications, but underlying all, we are told to accept one another and love one another. Romans 14:1, "Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters." Now, we're not talking about big things like the deity of Christ, but we're talking about other things that we have different opinions about. In the church, we're going to have Republicans and Democrats. We're going to have Calvinists and Arminians. And some of you just don't say, well, what is all that? We're going to have differences, but we're to accept and love one another. Romans 15:7 says, "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." God calls us to relationships that manifest warmth and honor. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. We're to be devoted to one another. Or as another version puts it, love one another with brotherly affection. We're not to be like Linus in the Peanuts cartoon. How many of you remember this? He says, "I love mankind. It's just people I can't stand." So love can become theoretically true. It's something theoretically we do. We love theoretically. "I love you. I just can't stand you." But no, we're to be people whose love is characterized by warmth and by honor that's given to one another. It's also characterized by encouragement. We all need encouragement in life. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you are doing. Look at the word encourage. It's courage in. So we place courage in our friend. We get down, we get discouraged, the courage disappears to face life and the problems, the challenges. And as friends, we encourage one another. We bring the courage back as we remind one another of the greater things of God and who He is and how He can be there for us. Sometimes we get discouraged beyond the normal. We need more than just encouragement. We need something stronger. Hebrews 3 talks about another thing is, "But encourage one another as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." The English Standard Version translates this as exhort one another, which is stronger. Sometimes we need a kick in the pants so that sin doesn't grab hold, so that we don't go astray. Life can be hard, but what a blessing it is when we have others who can bear the burdens of life with us. It doesn't take away the pain, doesn't take away the suffering, doesn't take away the grief when somebody comes to bear your burden, but it takes away the feeling I'm doing it all alone. And as the burden is shared, as you're just with that person in their struggle, you listen, you can say, I care. You may or may not understand, but I care. I'm here. I care for you, and I want to encourage you. Just that bearing of the burden is a huge blessing. I'm so glad I have people who can do that for me. One of the things that can get in the way of relationships is pride. Pride keeps us from sharing of ourselves because we don't want people to see our weaknesses. Pride can also manifest itself by thinking, I'm better than you, and therefore I'm not going to relate to you. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. One of the blessings in the church, the body of Christ, is that we come together as those who have all received God's grace, and we come together as equals at the foot of the cross. Now, we have differences between us. We have differences in age and education and skill and income and various abilities. I'm sure I'm better than you in some things. I'm sure you're better than me in some things. But we don't value just in terms of you have to be as good as me in these kinds of things. I have found through my years as a Christian that I can have a friendship with somebody who's background is very different, different in culture, different in education, different in socioeconomic status, because we share humanity and we share Christ together. So he says, don't be haughty, but even associate with the lowly. Christian friendships are not perfect. We're going to step on one another's toes. We're going to behave poorly sometimes. So we're called to Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, in Christ, God forgave you. Now, how did God forgive you? Did you deserve it? Did you realize how bad all of your sins were? No. But God forgave when you didn't deserve it. Your friend needs forgiveness. And sometimes you're going to look and say, well, they don't deserve it. Or he didn't really apologize, or maybe didn't apologize at all. And yet we're to forgive as God forgave us in Christ. Hebrews 10:24-25 says that we are to also have a positive effect of stimulating one another to personal growth and application. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Our relationships should stimulate one another to be better people, to find ways to apply God's word, to be full of love and good deeds. And for this to happen, we have to be together. We have to meet together Sunday morning corporately, as we're doing now. We need to meet together individually, one-on-one, or in small groups so that we can help one another continue to grow. The next one is pretty hard. Most of us probably don't do this, but James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, I'm sure I haven't done this as much as I should have, but I've done this and confessed my sins to friends and found it very helpful and healing. The Catholic Church, as you know, kind of has taken this as an institutionalized thing where the priest only can hear your confession and forgive. But the New Testament says here in this verse that we're to do this with one another, confess and find forgiveness and healing and change. Now, sometimes we disillusion one another. Sometimes we fail. And we need big help. When we fail, sometimes it's easy to cut the other person off, to think you have behaved in such a way that is just so wrong that I'm just going to cut you off. But here's what Galatians 6:1 says. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself that you too may be tempted. You who live by the Spirit. Now, if you look back in chapter 5, he says you got two choices, live by the flesh, live by the Spirit. Many read this verse and say, well, this isn't me. This is the leaders of the church, but not me, not the ordinary people. But Paul's saying, if you're a Christian who's an ordinary Christian who's trying to live by the Spirit, this is part of your call too. Not to condemn, not to cut off, not to reject, but to reach out and restore in humility and gentleness. Now, think of what your life would be like if you had relationships that were characterized by all of these actions that we've just said, with encouragement and burden-bearing and service and forgiveness and confession and stimulation towards growth and goodness. What would your life be like? Now, many of us have experienced some of this. Some of us might be like my mother said, she hadn't really experienced this because it had never been taught in her church. God wants us all to experience these kinds of things. So the question we want to ask right now is, how do I grow in having these kinds of relationships? Let me give you some suggestions. One, assess where you are and make a plan. If you join one of the gyms in town, the first time you come, they're going to weigh you. They're going to take a measuring tape and measure your chest and your stomach and have this little machine that measures how much body fat you have. It's all designed to make you very depressed and discouraged. But once you assess where you are, then you can make a plan of where you want to be. So start with assessing your relationships. Am I experiencing these things in my relationships? Am I satisfied? Do I need to work on things to help develop? And then secondly, increase your possibilities. One easy way to do that is join a group in the church. We've got Sunday morning, we've got different adult Bible classes, we've got Bible studies during the week. Join a group and get early to the group and leave late. Because it doesn't help if you're the last one in and the first one out, and because that's what some of us do. We're feeling a little shy, a little awkward, and I don't know what to do, so I'm going to get out of there as fast as I can. But that's not going to help. But put yourself in a position where relationships can happen. That's what we're talking about here. Number 3, initiate extra time with people. So once you've made some contact, just ask somebody, whatever it is you like to do. You want to go play golf or go shopping or go fishing or hiking or kayaking, whatever. Just ask somebody, hey, you want to go with me to do this? Reach out to somebody. Why don't we have a meal together and just see what happens? I found in some of those relationships, they blossom and grow, and others just, okay, it's a one-time lunch. We never get together again, and there's not a good click. But just try something. Initiate with people. A 4th thing, join or form a community group. We have a community group ministry that we've been developing over the last year. Pastor Jake is going to be in the lobby by the information counter after the service. So if you would like to be in a community group, you're not in one, maybe you don't even know what it is, talk to him after the service or put on the friendship pad that's in the seats right on there. I want information about this. You might think about starting one. Last fall, as we kicked off this ministry, Holly and I started a community group. We made a list of people we wanted to call and invite to our group. About half of them said, no, that doesn't work for us. Or we're already some other group, and that's fine. You can expect some things to work, some things are not. And then we settled on a group, and it's been fantastic. We have really encouraged one another. We've shared life together. We served in a project together last week at Love Lodi. It has been a great relationship building thing where we are living out the verses that we've talked about. So think about joining or forming one, and we'll help you. If you don't know how to do it, we will help you. Take the initiative with people. A few years ago, I felt I just need something more, and so I called a few friends to see if could we get together regularly for like a deeper relationship, accountability, and support. And one said no, and a couple said yes, and we've been meeting, and it's been wonderful because we've all experienced significant things in family and work and personal life that we've been able to share and support one another in. But it wouldn't happen without taking the initiative. Finally, if you want to have a friend, be a friend. It's not going to happen if you just sit and wait, because that's what a lot of us do. We just sit and wait. I wish I had it. I wish somebody reached out to me. Be a friend. Reach out to others. Ask them questions. Talk. Initiate a time for coffee. Hang out in the lobby. Do something to make these things work. Okay, the next question, we're talking about the Welcome Initiative. You see that at the bottom of every page on the screen here. So our next question is, how does our Welcome Initiative relate to building strong New Testament relationships? You know, many companies look at architecture seriously. And over the last few decades, a lot of companies have said, we need to rethink how we look at architecture. Because architecture has an impact upon relationships in the company. And if we're set up in such a in this kind of way, people aren't interacting. If we redo the architecture this kind of way, then there's interaction and there's more collaboration and we get more done. When I came to this church, we were still on the Central Avenue location at the old building, which was wonderful in many ways, but we had no lobby at all. We didn't even have central doors that you came in and out of. There were three different entrances, all separated. And so after service, unless you just hung out in the sanctuary, there wasn't a meeting place. There wasn't a place to hang out and be together. When we designed this building, we said we need to have a lobby, and it needs to be a significant lobby. And we've actually had other people from other churches say, wow, you've got such a great lobby. I wish we had one of those. It has been a real blessing. We feel that it's time now to move our lobby to the next level. So part of the Welcome Initiative is remodeling and redesigning the lobby specifically to provide more structure, the right structure, and opportunities for more friendship development, more times to hang out. So here's a picture of the lobby. Hang out at 9:45. We'll answer questions about this. I'm not going to do all that right now. But we're going to have more seating space, as you can see, and other things designed to make people feel comfortable and welcomed in. So that's part of our Welcome Initiative. Another part is what we're calling a Welcome Terrace. So we just got this week the architect's rendering of this. This is what it's going to look like. It's right over here, out this side where we have the grass, which turns brown every summer, and the trees there. We're going to take everything out. We're going to start over. We're going to make a welcome terrace. There'll be seating, some covered seating. There'll be some place where we can have meetings, lunches after church. We're talking about maybe talking to some food truck people if they want to come in and do food trucks, because we can have a place for people to hang out and eat together. Different Sunday school groups and others can have meetings or small concerts here. The kind of sky's the limit. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. So you can take a look at it. In your bulletin, we have a brochure, the Welcome Initiative, and it outlines for you everything that we're going to be doing. And you can read that on your own. What I want to point out is something else that's along with it is a pledge card. What we're asking is that everybody in the church prayerfully consider what you can do to be part of this. We're asking everybody to prayerfully consider making a pledge to help these dreams become a reality. Now, of course, this has to be above our regular Sunday giving because we still have all of our regular needs to fund, regular ministries and things. But I think everybody can do something. even if it's small. Remember the story of the widow's mite. Some of us can only do a small thing. There are others who can do something really big. On the back of this, we have listed giving options. So read this over and say, you know, I could do that. We could do that. And see if there's a target that we've outlined here that you look at and you read and it stimulates you and you feel like, you know, we could do that. And we're asking for a pledge through the end of 2020, so it'll be about 42 months, 3.5 years to do that. You might think of it as a one-time thing, an annual thing, a monthly thing, a weekly thing. And we've broken down some of the figures for you. So 2 weeks from now is going to be Commitment Sunday, and we're asking you to bring it back. If you're going to be absent, to send it in, whatever. And we will take these, and then through what the feedback you give of the level of commitment we're able to give together as a church, then we'll make our plans on how quickly to proceed with all of this. But it's going to be a very positive and exciting thing. So welcome initiative, welcome friendships. And today we want to talk about friendships. We've talked about building friendships with one another. The Bible also talks about another friendship that we can have that's very important. God's friendship. Psalm 25:14. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant with them. The English Standard Version says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. He makes known to them his covenant. The friendship of the Lord. He wants to be our friend, and he opens that friendship to us. Every month as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, also we call it communion, we have a chance to celebrate together and to talk about a little bit different aspect each time. Today we want to talk about friendship, the friendship that we can have with God. Jesus talks about this also in John 15, verses 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you my servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. So as we celebrate the bread and the cup, let's think about the friendship that we have with God. Let's open our hearts to him and say, God, I want to live out that friendship with you. I thank you for the grace you've shown, for the opportunity to be a friend of God. And let your hearts draw near to him. Now, we're also going to do something a little different. We're going to have one prayer to begin. And we have our middle school students who are going to distribute the elements to us today. And then we're going to have some singing time. And we're not going to interrupt the singing with any more explanations. But we're talking about friendship today. And so we want to give you just an opportunity. It'll be very informal. But during the singing, you could live out some of this. You might see somebody else that you want to just go over and give them a hug. Say, you're my friend. You might see somebody that you know needs encouragement and say, I'm praying for you. You might see somebody that maybe your relationship has been broken and fractured. Jesus says in Matthew 5, if you're offering your gift at the altar, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. So maybe you want to go be reconciled to somebody. Maybe you said a harsh word. Maybe you haven't talked in a while. Maybe there's some barrier. You just need it to get solved. So an open time during our singing just to go and express some of the ways that we can be friends to one another and live out these biblical patterns. I'm going to ask Maddie DeCristofaro to come up now and pray for our communion time and give thanks for what God has given to us.
Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can celebrate your death on the cross and how you resurrected. And we're just so happy that we can have a relationship with you as you shed your blood and your body on the cross for us. Amen.
Amen. So as the elements are passed, then we will just take them individually as they're passed and as you're ready. And as we pass, we can express our friendship to one another as God leads. Lord, we are dependent upon you. We ask that you would fill us Help us to break past our own barriers and the barriers of our culture to be the people you want us to be in love and kindness, forgiveness, grace, and good deeds. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.